We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character, and step seven humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. So now, if we could have a warm welcome for Marilyn.
Good evening, I'm Marilyn and I'm an alcoholic. That shouldn't surprise you. That's why I'm here. I'm grateful to be here because of that. And it's, I never thought at the time in the beginning that I would ever say I was grateful for that little part of my life. Well, big part of my life, but it's no longer that big. And there's a lot that has taken the place of it. So I'm very glad to be able to share these two steps. This has been a kind of an interesting week for me. There's always issues in life, right? And some of them are very, they scare me, and others just challenge me, and others just confuse me, and so on and so forth. And so when I started to do steps 6 and 7 to prepare for tonight, I thought, I don't know about this. There isn't much written in the big book about it. There's two paragraphs. And as far as the other readings, I read the 12 and 12 and the steps we took by Joe McHugh. And I started kind of sketchy with it and then started building and got real inspired. So hopefully I can share some of that with you tonight. In a very brief little review, at the end of step 5, we're encouraged to take some time, about an hour, and invite God in and do a review of our steps up to that point. So it would be 1 through 5. And in doing that, we're looking at, have we omitted anything? Have we really worked a solid work on this? And just sort of taking that kind of assessment. And I find that I have to do that because the whole purpose of this is to create a foundation that's solid. And if a foundation isn't solid, things get a little tippy in buildings and then they might fall down. So you have to look at how satisfied were you with steps 4 and 5. And then you'll be ready to move on to steps 6 and 7. So I see steps 6 and 7 as our how-to manual. The whole steps are that too, but it's our how-to discard defects, the things that we wish we didn't have. But we've now identified them, and they're not so pleasant to think about and have to face. So I like the fact that 6 and 7 comes right in the middle of the steps. So it's kind of a pinnacle. It's kind of the change. It's the pinnacle of change in our program where we're now really getting with working and changing, working a change in our lives. And that was difficult for me at first. I didn't quite understand what I was changing or how to change it. But I see the program in general as a program of purging the things, the behaviors, the thinking that really were standing in my way in life. They made me miserable, but I didn't see that until I had some clarity by not drinking anymore. So that helped a great deal. So now we've done the spring cleaning. This is spring, so I can say that. When I do spring cleaning, it gets a little overwhelming for me at home because there's things I think I should throw out and I don't throw out and I just put them in another corner. So that's never helpful. But in our steps 6 and 7, we can really do some purging and some cleaning up and then some restructuring of things. And we don't have to do it alone. That's the good part of it. So Step six we start with, and I'm a word person, so you'll have to bear with me again. I didn't say hi to my Zoom people. Thank you for being here. It's good to see you. So, step six, we finished figuring out what our character defects are, we've shared them with God and another person and ourselves, and now we were entirely ready to have God remove these defects of character. In case you haven't noticed, I'm a character. And I enjoy being that unique character. So bear with me through this. So, we're sober. That was the first prerequisite to getting any kind of sane awareness of what was wrong and what I could do to fix it, or what could be done to fix it. So being entirely ready, what does that mean? I think that being entirely ready is about the best attitude you could have for anything that you have to tackle. To be, okay, dig in, I'm ready. But I do believe that the process of change, which is what we're talking about, is a lifelong process. I kind of screwed it up for over 21 years by doing things my way. So now I become, in step six, entirely ready to do it another way. To be completely ready is to be committed to the change process. So, okay, what's readiness? Readiness is a state of being fully prepared to act or take action. So it's kind of the roll up your sleeves and get busy type of readiness. But the theme that I saw threaded through step six was willingness. You have to be willing. You have to be inclined or have the attitude. That's a state of mind to be willing to do it. And that was kind of a flip-floppy thing for me at first. I was feeling my way and not really figuring out how to do that at first. So accepted by choice or without reluctance is willingness. I'm ready, let's go. So willingness starts the change process, and it's our consent to have God work in our lives. Step six is the vital building block to change. It's part of our firm foundation. So Joe McHugh, in the steps we took, had a really very insightful thing to say on page 89. We've worked for years with the things in our lives that caused us problems. We have made them a part of our lives. We have worked at our character defects and built them into our personalities, sadly, but true. So now we're willing to let go of those character defects once we're aware of the damage they've done to our lives and to our relationships, part of our lives. So, remove all? Wow. Take everything? Don't I get to reserve a few character defects? Keep them in, you know, the back pocket in case, you know, something happens that I might need them. They still come out. I don't want them there, but they still do. So to remove all is to take it away, get rid of it, trash it, dump it, just get rid of it. But that's a little bit difficult to do. In this step, it's getting rid of unhealthy character traits that have been detrimental to our well-being. A lot of my character defects cause some physical maladies or problems in my body. Stress, which affects my stomach, it affected my jaw with TMJ, and I'd have these horrible, I'd wake up with these horrible neck aches. So it was all the stuff that I was doing to myself because I was holding on to this messy stuff, these defects. So I want to contrast some words here, character and personality. I was thinking they were the same thing, but they're not. By definition, a character is the mental or moral qualities and values that are distinctive to an individual. So we're all unique in that regard. We have our own character, or we are a character. Personality is more a combination of patterns of thinking, feeling, and behaving that characterize a specific individual. Joe McHugh says, whatever you practice, you become good at. That's a little on the scary side for me. I use my unique little situation with my identity as an example of personalities. I grew up in a situation where I had a twin sister, an identical twin sister, and I shared that last week. And we look alike, we sound alike. On the phone, we can be mistaken because we have that same pattern. It's very freaky when she calls and I hear myself. It's just kind of different. But we grew up in a household. We were taught the same values, morals, the same things. Everything was basically the same. However, we're very different personalities. Some of that might be just, I don't know, genetic. No, it wouldn't be, would it? We're identical twins. But anyway, we're different personalities, and I think this is because although we shared the same experiences growing up, we developed different responses or different beliefs as a result. We everything that happened, and a lot of things happened, we experienced differently. So our perceptions of those things in life we experienced were different. And we also, growing up, as adults, we had different life experiences. She was in California. My sister was in California for 45 years. I didn't see her for 45 years. So she comes back. Now she's living near us. And it's like having to get to know a person all over again. But our personalities are our unique characteristics. Own it. It's all good. But there might be some things we have to change in that personality. Again, at Joe McHugh on page 90, he says, our personalities were nothing but a pattern of mental habits we have accumulated and practiced and made into a pattern. Some of the patterns are constructive and some are destructive. I had something going for me. When I was still drinking, I went back to college and finished, and I finished well with honors. Who knew? So I must have had something, some constructive habits that helped me to do that, and some drive. But then were things that were very destructive as well. So, in other words, we can't hold on to our old identity and ways of doing things and successfully embrace a better, healthier way to live. Can't do it. You have to give up the old thinking and the old behaviors. If you gave them up, you're not... What are you going to do if you're just a clean slate? So you have to put something in its place. So, on page 27 of the big book, this is the doctor's, it's talking about the doctor that dealt with some alcoholic, I assume they were men. There's a solution on page 27, I think it is. Ideas and emotions and attitudes, which were once the guiding forces of the lives of these men, are suddenly cast to one side, and a completely new set of conceptions and motives begin to dominate them. This being the result of a vital spiritual experience or experiences. So, enter the other part to this step. we're entirely ready to have God remove. God, our higher power, can remove our defects of character. I really got to thinking about that, and I realized that I know for certain that it was God's intervention that got me to AA and got me sober. So, of course, why wouldn't he help us get rid of our character defects? Of course he would. So, there's a saying that I've heard over and over again. I really like it. God could and would if he were sought. So in step 6 and 7, we're seeking God's help with our character defects because we can't get rid of them on our own. So I got to tell you, this is a little admission, but I suffer from a very grave disease of I want it now. I think it's a very serious syndrome. But I really cannot be a consumer of the removal of my character defects. I have to be active in the process. And the only way I can be active is by do my active part when I'm summoning God's help. And time takes time. It's happening slowly, but it's happening. There are specific tasks that I need to do to partnership with my higher power. And I think that I was still a consumer in the sense of I thought it was going to happen to me. Well, it happens, but it happens because I'm open, willing, and I do something, I take action. So that's step 6. We're entirely ready. We haven't really done it yet. So we're entirely ready. The stage is set. Maybe our mental attitudes are in a place where we're open, we're willing. I have a definite character defect that has been with me for a long, long time. And I don't like it, but it rears its ugly head from time to time. But I put things off. And I think, well, I defer it. I'll do that later. Or I'll call Gina and we'll talk about that. But if I would, like, maybe start addressing it right when it came up, maybe it wouldn't be such a little albatross. So, now let's talk about step 7. Humbly ask Him, God, to remove our shortcomings. Okay, so now we're aware of God's active participation in the process. And I do believe that He is very active in the process of our change. We're ready to ask for help. Oh no, I have to ask for help. I have to actually reach out for help. In 2010, I tried to fly, okay? I fell 8 feet from our loft at our camp, and it's one of those attic stairs, and I got knocked unconscious, and as I fell down the stairs, it cut my calf open. Okay, so I was a mess. I ended up in the hospital on July 4th weekend that year, and I ended up having a long recovery from that, I will say. And I remember Gina and Mark coming down to the house, and I'm pretty pathetic. I'm sore because I fell 8 feet. So it wasn't just the flap laceration on my leg. It was my head, my hip, my shoulders, everything hurts. So I'm walking around like this. And one of the things I have a real hard time with is asking for help. So I was sitting in my chair. I had come down the stairs. We were going to have a little meeting, I think, if I remember. So I came down, I'm sitting in my chair, and I'm on pain meds and stuff, and I'm like, oh, I'm so thirsty. And so in this very meek little voice, I said, could someone get me a glass of water? And Gina said, did I hear someone ask for help? No, no one asked for help. I'm like, could I have some water, please? You know? But that was so, she knew me, and she knew what my issue was with that. So, to humbly, what does it mean to humbly ask God for help to remove the shortcomings? Well, humbly is an adverb, little English lesson for you. And its meaning is that in a manner that is not proud or arrogant. Meek might be another word for it. But I looked up also the word humility, because that's a word I'm more familiar with. And humility is a realistic view of one's own importance. Freedom from pride or arrogance, selfish or self-seeking, which are character defects. So, humbly asked, what does it mean to ask? Oh, well, it's just a request something, isn't it? But somehow, those words are sometimes hard to get out. So, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. What is a shortcoming? I am short. I want no comments about that. It is not one of my shortcomings. I had a client ask me one time how tall I was. He was over 6 foot. So as he's leaving my office, he says, how tall are you anyway? As he's looking down. And I didn't miss a beat. I said, 6'5". And he walked out, and he's down the hall. He goes, 6'5". You are not 6'5". Like, it's an honest program today. So what is a shortcoming? A failure or defect in conduct, a fault, failure to meet a certain standard, a flaw, or something lacking, a weakness. That's an awful lot of definition for shortcomings. So I've always been a little confused. Why did Bill talk about character or defects of character in step 6, and then all of a sudden he's saying shortcomings in step 7. I think all it was is he was pretty good with words. He had some literary training, and he just used different words. So we can get a broader clarification, understanding of what defects of character really mean. That's how I take it. And if you know something else, let me know, because that's all I could come up with. So I'd say that step 7 is a very earnest prayer request, and it's done humbly. We ask God to help with something we can't do on our own. I could never remove my character defects. Humility was something that I guess I hadn't practiced enough to really have it be comfortable. But to now realize that I needed God's help to do that, I really did. I couldn't do it on my own. I still have times I'll go back into one of those nasty character defects. You know, I'll shoot something out of my mouth that I'll regret. Get angry, whatever. But I can always go back humbly and ask for help to remove that one and get more insight into it, perhaps. The 12 and 12 on page 74 says, and I like how this is worded, when we have taken a square look at some of these defects, have discussed them with another, which is step 5, and have become willing to have them removed, step 6, by this time, in all probability, we have gained some measure of relief or release from our more devastating handicaps. Now they're calling them handicaps. It's like, so now we have 3 words to wrestle with, but I'm not giving you a definition on that. We enjoy moments in which there is something like real peace of mind it goes on to say a little later in that, I think it's the same paragraph, where humility had formerly stood for a forced feeding of humble pie, it now begins to mean the nourishing ingredient which can give us serenity. Serenity is something that I needed. We all know serenity and peace. Oh boy, those were two words that were very foreign in my experience in life. And then on page 75 in the 12 and 12, we read, during the process of learning more about humility, the most profound result of all was the change in our attitude toward God. I just love that. And that was so true for me. I grew up with kind of a sense of a punishing God. I did things wrong, and I felt a lot of shame for that, even as a kid. And I just, you know, the big guy in the sky that could go like this at any moment. And that was kind of a sad kind of child understanding of a higher power. But gratefully today, that's definitely not the case. Because through these steps, I've found that this is a very personal relationship. And when I came into the program, I had no idea how to be healthy in a relationship at all. And it's been a process over time to get to the point where I can be in a relationship in a healthy manner. I was talking to a sponsee on the phone before I came here tonight, and she's been out of town, and I had washed my hair, and it was getting to be, I looked at the clock, and it's 4 o'clock, and we leave at 4:30, and I'm like, oh, but she really has some important stuff to say. Marilyn, just stop it. It's like, say, hey, could you call me later tonight? Because I really have to dry my hair so I can get on the road to go to the meeting. And it's change for me. This is a wonderful, and people are very gracious when you ask for what you need, and when you put yourself in the equation. It's really nice. So, my experience with these steps, by the time I seriously worked the steps, anyway, I had a great deal of disdain for the way I was living. And even in recovery for the first few years, it was very difficult for me because I still had my old behaviors, my old ways of thinking, and they changed gradually. So I'll tell you what mine are. My grosser handicaps or defects of character. I have a little bit of a list, and I've had to add some over the years. But a lot of them are just my self-will, self-centeredness, self-centered fear, I think it talks about in the big book. I get angry. I feel anger toward injustice, but I have to be appropriate with that, not inappropriate. I was dishonest because I shut down my feelings. I never told you how I felt, never told you what I needed or what was going on with me. And I also have this terrible thing in my character where I'm very defensive. I could be very defensive. And it's hard. Don't tell me about myself. And that's ego. That's just pride and ego. So those are my grosser handicaps. It was really a tremendous, tremendous relief for me to be able to clear away those things or be in the process of clearing those things away with the awareness that God was working them out with me. You know, I'm not doing this alone. Being relieved of the obsession of drink was wonderful. It was just like I could finally think. I could finally stop planning, stop lying, and doing all the things that I was doing. But when I started working the steps and acknowledged and asked God to work with me and for me in my life, wow, those shortcomings or defects of character or whatever you want to call them started to dissipate. I'm very grateful for that. Step seven, I see it as a very dynamic catalyst for spiritual growth. I define my life as being on a spiritual journey. And I like that because I like journeys. I like to hike. I like to travel. So it's a dynamic spiritual journey. We're no longer having to rely on ourselves. I don't have to rely on myself because we can seek God's help and we seek each other's help too. And it was so special to come here. This is week five and I'm reconnecting and it feels so very good. So we have God and we have the support of each other. And it's just a wonderful dynamic. The 12 and 12 says, the seventh step is where we make the change in our attitude, which permits us with humility as our guide to move out from ourselves toward others and toward God. Once I was able to accept the badness in my life or the badness that I had become, I was a bad actor. We'll say that. There was such empowerment to be able to discover my goodness, I have goodness. And that was very, very, very growing for me, that there is some good in me, because I didn't feel that when I came into the program. So I love who I am becoming. I'm not there yet. Bear with me. I'm working on it. But with God's help and all of you, hey, I'm very grateful, thankful, and thank you. Let's end it with the seventh step prayer. If you know it, you can say it with me. If you don't know it, just I'll say it for you. My Creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Marilyn. And now is the question and answer period. Anyone in the room here with a question? Raise your hand. Anybody on Zoom, go ahead and unmute and fire away.
Hey, Marilyn. Thank you so very, very much for sharing your work on step 6 and 7. They've always been a bit nebulous to me, but they have become more concrete the longer I've stayed sober. But my question is, do you think there's a connection between the willingness to ask for help and humility?
Yeah. That's it. No. Just kidding, Helen. Good question. Yes. Arrogance, which, and thinking that I know better and know how to do things, has kept me from seeking help when I really needed it. And so humility has been a real gift. It wasn't something I understood at first at all, and maybe I still don't understand it completely, but to humbly ask for anything, a basic need, was a challenge for me. I was the background person in my family. I stayed out of the mix, so it was really important to just meet my own needs the best I could. There's four of us, and three had tonsillectomies. Not me. I kept my tonsils because I just lived with the sore throats and the puffy tonsils or whatever it was. And I'd gargle with salt water surreptitiously so no one knew. I wasn't going to go to the hospital. So now I would never do that. If I have a problem, I ask for help. And I do that every morning too. But yes, I think it's very much connected. Thank you.
Nobody in the room? All right, I've got something. So in the seven-step prayer, I pray now that you remove every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. So what does it mean, stands in the way? Could you hang on to a character defect thinking that it's not in the way?
I just ignore them.
Perfect.
Just kidding. Joke, not funny. There's a lot of times that I don't even realize that I'm one of them's rearing its ugly head, and it does stand in the way. And after the fact, step 10 helps with that because I can look at the bigger picture of the day and see what I've done wrong. But yeah, I think that they can stand in the way of usefulness. They have for me. I don't know if I answered.
If you're exercising it, it's in the way.
It does get in the way, but you know the funny thing is, the step 7 for me is like this. Really, really, take them away. Get rid of them. I don't want them anymore. But it is. It's not a consumer sport. I can't do it. I can't have somebody do it for me. I have to take an active part in the process with my higher power and with my program, with my sponsor, and with all of you. I don't know if that helps.
Thank you.
Thank you, Marilyn. I'm Leslie Alcoholic, and I, you know, one of the things that I wonder, or is I found to be true, and I'll ask if you find it to be true as well, is this. It's like the longer I stay sober, I keep waiting for the ability that I don't have to surrender anymore, and that never happens. It has not happened yet. That it's that. The surrender never stops, and I've attended a meeting where they focus on 6 and 7 and taken the view that I can do 4th and 5th steps again and again, or I can really work on 6 and 7 and surrender it. And I was wondering, please, if you have thoughts on ongoing surrender and using 6 and 7, does that take me a little deeper and maybe get a more lasting relief than keeping on writing about what's wrong with me.
Yeah. I don't know. Some things have come up in the course of my recovery where I really have to get back there and do a 4th, and I may identify another character defect. However, I am glad that I have the resource of daily surrender. It keeps me humble. We humbly ask. It's like I'm human. I make mistakes. My ego comes out and just starts screeching. And I hate that, but I'm human. So if I forgive myself for being human and surrender it, yeah, I think 6 and 7. I really love 6 and 7. They're the meat of my program because I have to sometimes become willing to again. It's like here it is again. You know, take it again. It's like, sorry, I wish it didn't come back, but I have something I say when I have to do that, and when I say the like the seven-step prayer, is I basically, how did I put it? It's like yet again, but I'm still in process. It's not a process. It's not an event. It's a process. It takes time, and time takes time. And I have to forgive myself for not doing it perfectly. So yeah, I love the fact that I think we get beyond 4 and 5, but the other thing I'll say about that is I'm just now getting a new excitement for the steps through this study at 32 years sober. Wish it wasn't that way. But it's like it's wonderful because it's a refresher and it's a newness that I can maybe clear out some of the more of the wreckage. So I hope that helped.
Yes, ma'am. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Les.
Hi, Marilyn.
Hi,
Brenda. Thank you for tonight. So, in listing your character defects to yourself or writing them down, did you ever have something happen where you had them all listed? And your sponsor said, no, you got more than that. Because we're in denial sometimes. And sometimes they see in us what we can't see. So, and I know my sponsor would tell me that. But have you ever, did that ever happen to you?
Oh, yes.
Oh,
yes. On many fifth steps.
Ah.
Yes. Yes. And it's very helpful because I think I can get very emotionally blind to those things. And yes, she's pointed out. Now, I will say something about that, though. There are times where my dear, wonderful sponsor says something or points out a character defect, and I disagree, but I don't say it. I say, I will pray on that, and I will process that because I have to. And she's always right.
I hate that,
but she's always right. But actually, it's a blessing because then I get to grow and stretch beyond my stuck points.
Thank you.
Hi, Marilyn. Thank you, Renee, alcoholic.
Hi, Renee.
This is kind of playing off of what Jim said and something you had said earlier, that with the difference between saying character defects in step 6 and shortcomings in step 7, and Jim had mentioned how the 7-step prayer says character defects which stand in our way.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's possible to have a character defect that can be transformed into something positive instead of using it in a negative aspect, that it can be transformed, and that's why it's a defect of character, not a shortcoming?
Oh my, let me think. Well, I don't know. There's things about me, it's like I know I've spent a lifetime of being dishonest. I just took the DE off of it now. It's like, and so I've transformed dishonesty into honesty. I don't know if that's kind of what you're talking about, but anger is another one, and resentment. So if I have something that I'm angry about, I have to analyze that a little bit before I start, freaking out about it or saying things I regret. But anger can be very positive. It was the thing that got me to go back to school because I was tired of being just an aide, as I was described by my teacher supervisor when the bigwigs came and said, who is that woman? She's excellent. Oh, that's just my aide. She never gave up my name. I got angry. I was riding a bicycle that back then, and I took my anger up the hill in Connecticut to the university that was in town and got an application and quit my job and went back to school. So yeah, I think anger can be a motivator for change and some other the character the if I can take self-seeking and make it into self-help, maybe that's a good one. So I don't know if that's where you were getting at, but.
My name is Trevor. I'm an alcoholic. Thanks, Marilyn. I know that I got a lot of relief out of the fourth and fifth step, and I know a lot of other people did. And so there was sort of not empty feeling, but a good feeling of relief. And so we take this, and so I'm kind of looking or asking about your experience afterwards. You know, where big picture did you start to see some of these things get a little better, get some progress on the things that you were asking to have removed, or am I peeking over into next week's topic? But that's my question.
You might be peeking. I don't know. But actually, it's so all just flows. You know, it just flows together, and I share with you that sense of relief with the fourth and fifth. It was like, I finally got all that out. I finally was able to put it on paper and then actually speak, because I never spoke what was going on. But then 6 and 7 for me brought my higher power, brought God into the equation in a more real way. Like, I could say, you know, thank God and, you know, all that, but now the relationship was starting. And I had been a seeker for spiritual connection with the God of my understanding all my life. But it wasn't until I worked these steps that that happened. So yeah, there's more to be revealed next week.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Anybody else in the room?
Anybody on Zoom? All right. Thank you, Marilyn.